Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is 5:09, 71 degrees on this Monday, June 2nd, 2025. Yeah, I know it's Monday, I get it, but it is June already, and it is 71 degrees outside at 5 o'clock at night. Take the positive where you can get it, right? All about it. All about it. The suspect in that anti-Semitic terrorist attack in Boulder, Colorado, is now charged with 16 counts of attempted murder. 16 counts of attempted murder as an illegal immigrant from Egypt that was here and should not have been. So that's going to be something that we dive into as well. Getting some text messages here about the Wilkes-Barre officer-involved shooting under investigation from 1 a.m. this morning. Yes, that was an individual, a 911 call saying that it's a disorderly individual. When the police got there, there was a woman without her clothes on out in the street with two knives, ended up banging on the cruiser's window. The police officers were thankfully safely in their vehicle still. The woman then moved on to a person who was driving by who I guess had their window open, and there was some sort of interaction with this person that just happened to be an innocent bystander driving by with this woman with their knives. Several commands by law enforcement and the Wilkes-Barre police were forced to use deadly force. The woman did survive, though, and was arraigned bedside in the hospital today. So not totally without incident, but everybody eventually will be safe. So that's a positive thing there. So the vast majority of Americans don't see the Democrats as a party with strong leaders that get stuff done. As per a CNN poll, I don't think this is surprising to anyone who's been paying attention, right? Fewer than a fifth of Americans view Democrats as the party with strong leadership that's able to get things done, with Republicans scoring roughly double on both sides of those metrics, a new poll has found. When asked about which party has strong leaders, 40% of American adults said Republicans, compared to 16% of Democrats. And 43% said neither. According to a CNN SSRS survey taken last month, asked about which party can get things done, 19% felt that the descriptor applies to Democrats, compared to 36% who said Republicans and 44% who felt neither. All this comes as a record share of Americans, 58%, want to see the federal government step up and do more to tackle problems vexing the country. A 30-year high for that figure, as per CNN. Generally speaking, over recent decades, the majority of respondents had faulted the government for trying to do too many things when asked that question. It's simple. It's funny, because if you asked Americans on both parties, they want the federal government to step up and do more to tackle problems vexing the country. But when anyone attempts to tackle those problems, politics gets in the way. You have parties who are more worried about gaining back power than fixing any problem you or I have. Listen, Medicaid, Social Security are headed towards a fiscal cliff. There is no dispute of that. Both sides agree to this. Now, what we do or how we do it or if we do it is where politics get involved, because they're weighing options to point fingers at each other rather than correcting the systems that's there for you or I. And anytime someone brings it up, it's weaponized. So up until quite recently, it's been a losing situation to bring it up because it's weaponized immediately. So the majority of Americans who want the government to step up and tackle more problems are also the very people who are letting politics get in the middle of it and don't want any fix of any problems. We've tried things before. Listen, our deficit is going in extreme areas. We need to try something different. And when something different is tried, you have the media, you have political parties screaming the sky is falling. You literally had an administration that opened up our borders to millions of illegal immigrants to burden our systems, making it that much more difficult to fix these very problems. Billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars have been poured into this manufactured problem, and no one blinked an eye while that party was in power. No one blinked an eye, and it wasn't an issue. Oh, we're really not dealing with it here, so why is it a big problem? Because you've never gone to the places where they're actually dealing with it. If you look at the rap sheets of these individuals that are being arrested by ICE and CBP around the nation, it's abhorrent. If you look at this individual who just set a dozen people on fire in Boulder, Colorado, who shouldn't have been here, it's abhorrent. If you look at the two individuals who ran a young lady, 18-year-old, headed to the Air Force Academy over with a jet ski, left her to die, and then struck two vehicles, occupied vehicles, while they were fleeing the parking lot, is abhorrent. This is just the past week. These are happening every day, everywhere around our country. It's just a matter of time before it affects someone you personally know. And you don't have to take a far trip to see where this is burdening systems. The billions of dollars that are being poured into it so things cannot be used to fix things for you or I. These systems like Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. Since the election, I mean, you have Tim Walz coming out all of a sudden now with his nonsense and gibberish. You have members of Congress eating tacos on live stream thinking it's a popular thing to do. And you have Jasmine Crockett, who knows what the hell she's saying. There's no leaders, there's no message, there's no platform. And until the Democrats realize that, and they are so scattered between, I mean, you have your lead senator in the U.S. Senate on the Democrat side, Chuck Schumer, who is a Jewish American, who's been utterly useless as these anti-Semitic attacks, other than his cursory, "this is outrageous," post. He's done absolutely nothing. He's spineless when it comes to his own religion and his own people being attacked. If that's the case for people he claims to call family, what do you think he cares about you or I? 16% of Americans, as per the CNN poll, believe Democrats have strong leaders. That's numbers you truly need to look at. And without fixing that, it's going to be an interesting ride. And all they have is attacks and made-up rhetoric because they have nothing else to stand on. No plan. No what would we do. They want to make up lies about members of Congress now taking Medicare. Well, what's your plan? You don't see one, do you? And when they tell you this, ask them that. What's your plan? And we'll see. Let's go to the phone now. We have Joe from Edwardsville. Joe's back in the town. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, Rob, welcome back, brother. You were talking about so many serious things today, but I don't really want to get into them. That would just take us forever. The things that I did want to talk about were, I'm so glad. I'm happy for you. Congratulations that your son has his feet back on U.S. soil. Back with his wife and his boy, and as a Blue Star dad, I know what that was like when you know my son was anywhere near harm's way doing time in Qatar and Iraq, and I feel you, brother, and your wife, God bless her. And that was the other thing I wanted to bring up because you just got done. Oh, well, I'm 40 minutes behind because I keep getting phone calls coming in about a family thing. So, but I'm listening on the app and then it just restarts where I left off. But yes, your wife was finally on the radio with us all, and I was the guy. I was the first guy that she got to talk to on the radio, and yeah, that will be an honor I will take with me to my grave. So please tell her I said congratulations as well, as a proud mama, proud grandma, and worry wart, as they all are. And I appreciate her talking to me on the radio in her inaugural address. That was just, that meant so much to me while I was down there in South Carolina on Thursday talking to you guys. And
Yeah, we couldn't really say when she was here, we couldn't really say why she was here and that I wouldn't be in on Friday because of OPSEC. You know, you had the carrier strike group coming in. And we really couldn't announce that, but you know, that was, we were headed out right after we got off the phone with you that day.
And trust me, I, you know, if there was a guy I was going to look to for advice on an OPSEC or a sit rep, you're the guy that I would go to. So no, I understand it. I get it. We're all good. We are all good. But yeah, I'm so glad you guys got to go see that, do that. I remember the day that my son did finally come home from those situations, and it was, oh man. Well, you know, as well as I do what that's like. And, yeah, I'm so happy for you, and I'm so proud just to have been involved in these couple little parts of your life. Especially the missus, like yeah. I say, you know, her inaugural address on the radio was to the Jersey Devil. Wow, man. There That'll be go. Chiseled on my gravestone if I have one.
Oh. So yeah, if you follow me on Facebook, and I know you do check in, you know, I put a couple of videos up. I put a video of the squadron doing their flyover when they first got in, and then when they all lined up and were walking towards their families, and then some pictures afterwards of the signs, and you know, him grabbing his wife in front of his plane. And I believe I have a picture of his plane too, with his name and call sign stenciled in the side. But it was you know, it was a long almost 9 months. As per the Fleet Admiral, this is the since World War II, this carrier has had the highest operational tempo in combat since World War II. So it was no joke over there.
No, yes, no, it absolutely is not. And I don't know if I ever told you this, but while my son was deployed, I get a call from a captain I had met, his captain, Captain Rutlow, and he's, Mr. Daniels, yes, sir. He says, I need to talk to you, your son. We had to fly him out to Ramstein. He's in Germany at an army hospital. And I was like, oh my God, what the hell? And he said, yeah, he appears to be suffering from, kidney stones. And you can imagine what that journey was like, listening to that news come over the phone on you. And it was all I could do not to go buy a ticket to fly to Germany and beat the snot out of him because, you know, I had been, you know, for 8 months, I had been just on the edge of my seat worried about him. But there's nothing I can do from this many thousand miles away. And now he's got kidney stones and he had to go to Ramstein for a couple of weeks. Baby, we talked about that when he got home. So I understand the tenterhooks you and your wife have been on these last 9 months.
No, I get it. When the Gettysburg had their incident with the USS Truman, we got word that there was an incident with the squadron, that everyone is alive, but you'll start seeing stuff on the news. And then we found out that you know, it was my son's squadron. Then we find out that the plane that was struck was my son's plane. Thankfully, he wasn't flying the plane that day, but we already knew that everybody was alive, so that was the good thing. And then, yes, you know, reports started coming out that the plane was struck, that the two pilot and the Wizzo ejected, and that you know, they were recovered with minor injuries. And thankfully, we were able to meet those pilots this weekend when we were there. They were there for the homecoming of their shipmates.
And I'm sure that was an honor too. Because, I mean, let's face facts. A successful ejection is an injury in and of itself. As you said before, what I think that, you know, a pilot can only have two ejections before he's grounded.
Yep.
Because of the damage that it's in itself does to the body.
I think they estimated that an ejection, you lose 3 inches of your height for the immediate future after your ejection?
Rob, I can't afford to lose 3 inches of my height. You probably could. Me,
my body
wouldn't
handle it. Nope.
I'd be looking for work on the Willy Wonka movie as an Oompa Loompa. So, yeah, no, that's serious stuff.
But they are back.
But anyway.
They are back on U.S. soil. My other daughter reported to Quantico today. So she was there first thing this morning for TBS.
Oh, please let her know that she is in my prayers. Always honored to know another Marine. And, one from your family that tells me everything I need to know.
6 months of blisters and crayons.
Hey, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. And I have faith in her ability to carry this out. So.
All right, brother. I'm up against traffic and weather. I appreciate you checking in.
It was great talking to you. Tell Jake again I said hello. Kiss the missus. And I'll talk to you soon.
Take care, brother.
Okay, bye-bye.
It is 5:25 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's 5:35, 70 degrees on this Monday, June 2nd, 2025. So there were peace talks today between Russia and Ukraine. They lasted a little over an hour and then collapsed. And it was kind of not unexpected. Ukraine destroyed 40 aircraft deep inside Russia. Not only 40 aircraft, but it's a major supply of the Russian tactical bombers. Ukrainian drone attack had destroyed more than 40 Russian planes deep inside Russia territory, as per the Ukraine security services. Now, this was an attack of 117 drones were used in the operation. It was extremely complex. And while this was going on, Moscow pounded Ukraine with missiles and drones just hours before the new round of direct peace talks. So there was a major escalation in back and forth. But taking out 40 of Russia's strategic bombers is a big deal. So much of a big deal that there's even a fear now that Russia may respond with a tactical nuclear weapon of their own against Ukraine. The military source says it was an extremely complex operation involving the smuggling of first-person view, or FPV, drones into Russia, where they were then placed in mobile wooden houses. Later, drones were hidden under the roofs of these houses while already placed on trucks. At the right moment, the roofs of the houses were remotely opened and the drones flew to hit the Russian bombers, the sources said. So this entire infrastructure was smuggled into Russia. They created these fake wooden homes with roofs that had remote control opening mechanisms. And when the time was right for this attack, the roofs were automatically opened, the drones were dispatched, taking out 40 of Russia's strategic nuclear bombers. This is quite a number. The drones hit 41 planes stationed in military airfields Sunday afternoon, including A-50s, Tu-95s, and Tu-22M aircraft. Moscow has previously used the Tu-95s and the Tu-22 long-range bombers to launch missiles at Ukraine, while the A-50s are used to coordinate targets and detect air defense as guided missiles. Russia's defense minister, in a statement, confirmed the attacks, which damaged aircraft and sparked fires on air bases more than 2,500 miles from Ukraine, as well as the Murmansk region in the north. Now, this was just hours before these alleged peace talks were supposed to take place, but obviously fell apart, lasting for just over an hour. Nothing took nothing to report as far as the talks. Now, that those talks were supposed to take place, well, they did take place in Istanbul. In a statement, Zelensky said that the defense minister will lead the Ukrainian delegation. We're doing everything we can to protect our independence, our state, and our people. And again, now the fear, the chatter that I see through military channels is how desperate is Russia now? The fact that 41 of their strategic bombers were taken out, do they respond with a heavy hand? And that's the fear that's going through military circles now. Now, obviously, international circles are telling Russia, don't go there. But at what point, Russia, who has already been embarrassed on the world stage with this war with Ukraine, both ground operations losing hundreds of thousands of soldiers, equipment, and now a large portion of their strategic bomber force. At what point do they feel desperate enough to raise and escalate this? That is the concern. That is the fear. That is one of the potential dangers. So we'll be monitoring this and we'll see where it goes. It's 5:40 here at WILK. We'll be back. The Storm Tracker 16 forecast from Chief Meteorologist Kurt Aaron. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 48. Tuesday, more sun than clouds, milder, a high of 82. Wednesday, sunny and humid, a high of 88. It is currently 70 degrees here at 5:40 at your official weather station, WILK.
See you, Rob.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Looking at a couple of stories here. Did you see this? 250 million. That's right. 250 million bees were unleashed upon a northern Washington after a truck overturns. Yes. Linden, Washington, emergency vehicles were busy as a bee, you know, cleaning up after a commercial truck full of beehives crashed in northern Washington state, unleashing 250 million bees on first responders. The truck, listen, I signed on for a lot, but 250 million bees, you can get someone else for that job. Truck overturned around 4 a.m. Friday near Linden, just south of the Canadian border, according to the county sheriff's office. Now, it's 4 a.m. in the morning. It's dark out. You're the first responders responding to this. I'm sure you really can't see the bees at night. I mean, you probably see things flying around, but you get out of your car to help, and all of a sudden you're in the midst of 250 million bees. Now, they were honeybees, so honeybees are docile as far as bees go, but they can sting, and they do sting. There was a massive response from deputies, public work officials. Several bee experts were called to the scene. I believe the NYPD, the largest police department in the world, has one beekeeper that's on staff. The 70,000 pounds of honey beehives on board came off the truck around 9 a.m. and unleashed all the bees, deputy said. 250 bees are now on the loose. Avoid the area due to potential of bee escape and swarming. A photo of the scene showed a surreal sight of millions of bees swarming outside the wreckage. Master bee, and they're going to stay around their queens, so it's not like you could just shoo them. You got to collect them. Master beekeepers are on the scene, and others are on the way to assist in resettling the beehive boxes, deputies wrote. The plan is to allow the bees to rehive and find their queen bee. That should occur within the next 24 to 48 hours. Basically, let's cordon this off and let the bees do their thing. The goal is to save as many of the bees as possible. The road was expected to remain closed for up to 2 days while authorities urge people to stay at least 200 yards from the crash site. While there is no general health risk to the public, anyone who is allergic to bee stings or has concerns should check with the State Department of Health. Listen, if you're carrying an EpiPen because you have an anaphylactic reaction, stay the hell away from the bees, 250 million of them. By late afternoon, crews had made progress for the cleanup, but still waiting for nature to take its course and the bees to rehive so they can move them, load them back up, and get them on their way again. Interesting, to say the least. Interesting, to say the least. What else do we have, too? A smartphone was smuggled out of North Korea and it reveals the insane things that the regime there, Kim Jong-un, does to control and suffocate his people. A smartphone smuggled out. Listen, and you got to realize that whoever smuggled this out is surely facing death if caught in North Korea. It revealed an astonishing level of control secretive dictatorship is exercising over its people. Get a load of this. The phone, which from the outside appears to be no different than a normal device, issues warnings about using South Korea slang words to users and auto-corrected South Korea to read puppet state. It would also covertly take screenshots every 5 minutes, storing the images in a secret folder which the user couldn't access, but which presumably were accessible to North Korean authorities. Could you imagine your phone taking screenshots every 5 minutes and then storing them, and then the government could go in and retrieve them anytime they want to see what you're looking at, to see what you're saying, to see what you're texting, anything you're doing at the phone? When users tried to type the word OPA, which means older brother in Korean, but has come to be used to refer to a boyfriend in South Korea slang, the phone would auto-correct the word to be more communist-friendly alternative to, say, comrade. The warning would also flash incoming. The phone users use of the term OPA could only be used for older siblings. The Orwellian practices with 21st century twist were revealed after Daily NK, a Seoul-based media organization, secretly smuggled the North Korean cell phone out of the country last year. It's only the latest example of the draconian clampdown on modern technology by Kim Jong-un's authoritarian regime, revealing that the dictatorship may be winning the battle in the tech world. Smartphones are now part and parcel of the way North Korean tries to indoctrinate people. You got to figure, giving them technology is also easier to monitor them, right? If you'd go old school, there would be nothing for them to monitor. Half of our problem, you heard about all those passwords being stolen and such like that? Technology is going to be our downfall, even as much as it helps us. We have these supercomputers in our pockets, and we are the most antisocial, dumbest people we've ever been in generations. And we have anything and everything at the tip of our fingers. It's incredible. Let me go to the phone now. We have Joe from Berwick. Joe.
Hey, Rob. I heard you talking earlier about the spending and you know, how especially one side doesn't want to seem to address it. And, you know, I can tell you, you know, I've had many friends who are just on the opposite side of the aisle than me, and we can sit down and have, you know, normal conversations, agree like just about on everything, really. But when it comes to the issue of the government spending, they insist the real problem behind everything is somehow rich people are getting away with something. And I mean, these are, you know, like normal, sane people, but you talk to them about that, they just cannot get over the idea that somehow there's a rich person getting over on them, and that's why we need to spend and tax the way we do, because they're not paying their fair share. And you just, you know, you can't convince them otherwise. So the only way to really win this battle in the public is to get enough independents on your side, and convince them, because those other people, you're never going to get them. They can't get over the fact that some rich person's getting over. And the amazing thing is they don't understand how many of the Democrats themselves are wealthy. I mean, Chelsea Clinton, the husband, you know what he does for a living? He's an investor for the super rich. I forget his actual title, but what that man does is he helps super rich people invest their money in things that, you know, people like you and I could never even get into if we tried.
Listen, the whole paying their fair share and tax the rich, and it's the biggest fallacy of our generation. It is the biggest lie told to people. And you know what? It's caught on by even intelligent people. you know, truly think, listen, the top 10% pay 90-something percent of all taxes in America. How much more do you want to tax? I mean, where at which point? And fair share. Well, what if we taxed everybody a flat rate of 10%? How would that work for everybody? Well, it wouldn't, because rich people would be taxed a hell of a lot less than they are now. And people who don't pay any taxes would have to pay 10% of their taxes. So at what point then is it fair share? But fair share doesn't mean fair share. When they say pay their fair share, they means they want them to pay more so they could pay less.
No, I understand it. Believe me. But, you know, the other thing, though, too, I would appreciate you stop talking about that North Korea thing, because you're giving Democrats ideas for the next COVID lockdown.
Well, I mean, we've seen tests of this here. I mean, look at the first Trump administration, where they were, you know, checking emails and doing illegal wiretaps and everything there. So, we've seen it here. That's the big argument with the Patriot Act of the abuses that have taken place because of it. So, you know, we're not far off there. I mean, it's not as bad as this. And the reason I tell this story is to show, you know, they'd be fine with this if they're doing it to someone else here. But if it's done a widespread to them, then they would be all up in arms.
Yeah. Well, I was just kind of said tongue in cheek, but unfortunately you're right. They showed their face with the whole COVID thing. I mean, they showed what they're all about and what they're willing to do. So, well, hey, thanks for getting me on, Rob. Okay.
No problem, Joe. You have a great evening.
Okay.
All right. And listen, he's not wrong. The fact that, you know, I read this stuff about North Korea and what they're doing is an extreme, but, you know, we've seen our own government abuse this type of thing. We've seen, you know, the arguments of facial recognition and everything else that's here as well. So it is a fine line. Abuses, when there's power, abuse is easy. And it's only having the right people in the right positions and the right safety nets to make sure it doesn't happen. We've seen, you know, people of all backgrounds and all income levels and all anything do wrongdoing. And simply because, most of the time, because they think they can get away with it. Why do people commit crime? Because they think they can get away with it. Why do people who are rich commit crime? Because they think they can get away with it. If you think no one's looking, well, no one's going to notice this. And it starts out like that. And then it becomes a habit, and then it becomes part of what you are and who you do. Very few of these things are out of desperation. It's because they think they can get away with it. It's an easy way, because in reality, if you look at your average crime out on the street of the cities of the United States, your criminal is only caught 10% of the time, if that. So for every one crime that they're caught for, there were 9 others that they got away with. And with a judicial system of revolving door, which we've seen, where they get a slap on the wrist and no consequences, that's a risk worth taking. That's a risk worth taking. And then because of that judicial revolving door, you have law enforcement throwing their arms up in the air saying, why am I wasting my time if you're just going to keep releasing these people? And that 10% goes down. So now for every 9.5 crimes, they may get caught once. That's how the system works. That's how it flourishes. That's why we see these cities increase in danger. Now, there may be less murders. There may be less shootings. It doesn't mean crime's going down. It means those things are going down. It's 5:56 here at WILK. We'll be back to close it out in just a minute. Well, that's it for the Rob O'Donnell Show today on WILK News Radio. This Monday, June 2nd, 2025. It is 5:58, coming up on the 6 o'clock hour now. Weather for the next few days looks phenomenal. Tomorrow, again, we're looking at a high of 82. More sun than clouds. And Wednesday, sunny and humid, a high of 88. Tonight, great sleeping weather, down to 48, partly cloudy. Anyone catch those northern lights last night? I didn't even bother to go. I was so exhausted, didn't even get out. I don't know, these 7-hour drives, even if you get out and stretch yourself every now and then, you listen, you're trying to get home. The more you stop and stretch, the longer it takes. And it's, I don't know, I'm getting too old for 7-hour drives. But there's no halfway mark, right? You got to push through it. But other than that, we talked about a lot today. We have that terrorist attack in Boulder, Colorado, now with a dozen individuals burned with a makeshift flamethrower from an illegal immigrant from Egypt that targeted them simply because they were Jewish. One of the victims being a Holocaust survivor. You have Jessup holding hearings on stricter data centers legislation. Police involved shooting in Wilkes-Barre, a woman walking around naked with two knives, threatening a bystander and forcing police to take action. An end of watch for NYPD former police commissioner Bernie Kerik, a friend of mine, born 1955 to 2025, passed away on Thursday, got the word when we were headed down to Virginia Beach. His funeral is going to be Thursday and Friday of this week. Plus other things we talked about. You can go back to the app and listen to it all on a rewind feature. If not, we'll be there tomorrow to talk about tomorrow's stories, breaking news, and whatever's happening in your atmosphere, our world. It's coming up on 6 o'clock here at WILK. God bless. Be safe.